Hi, my name is Jim Curl. I'm 37 years old. Today's date is Monday, May 9th, 2022. We are located in the Ozarks, Missouri, and I'm here with my friend Kevin Roy.
Hi, my name is Kevin Roy. I am 36 years old. Today's date is Monday, May 9th, 2022, and we are in the Ozarks in Missouri, and I am here with my friend Jim.
All right. So I'm just going to kind of go through a little bit about my background and kind of what led me to kind of falling into addiction very severely for many years, struggling and battling alcohol, and how I've come out of that, how I was really delivered from that, and how kind of I came across Kevin again. We lost touch with one another for several years and just real randomly ran into each other. It's pretty neat. So I had really a pretty good childhood, really no trauma, nothing really to speak of. I was really pretty well taken care of financially, emotionally, and otherwise. And I think really the only thing worth mentioning about kind of my growing up years and even up just a couple of years ago is my constant battle with anxiety. And in 2006, I met my wife and we got engaged, and several months later we ended up getting married and moving from California to Missouri. And it was during that move that I guess I just realized I couldn't handle life, different changes, and I was trying to do it on my own and I couldn't. And I just kind of by accident realized that when I would consume alcohol, it helped. And so I found myself on the weekends drinking periodically. It wasn't even a regular occurrence, but I guess I kind of realized that it helped. It was a coping mechanism. It was a very poor coping mechanism, but it helped. And it just kind of progressed and progressed, as addiction can very easily do. And within the course of just a few years, I found myself consuming alcohol nightly. The frequency was there. I started drinking more in volume, and at this point, really, I just kind of became a slave to it. I mean, I would use the word bondage. The Bible says that, and I felt like I didn't have a choice. I felt like I was literally stuck. I sought help medically. I just couldn't figure this deal out. There was a night in 2016 where I had consumed alcohol, which was my nightly ritual, and went to go to sleep, and it wasn't enough. I was still awake. I couldn't fall asleep. And so I told my wife that I needed to go and get more, and she refused to help and assist. And so I decided I would do that on my own and grabbed the car keys and took off and went, picked up, the extra alcohol that I wanted. And no sooner did I pull out of the parking lot of the gas station, I got pulled over for DWI. I got arrested, I got taken to jail, booked, and they released me. And that was kind of, I guess, what kicked off my legal issues, my struggle, and all of that with my family just became more and more. And I guess it was around this time that I landed in the psych unit. I had multiple 96-hour holds put on me because I was a danger to myself. I eventually started to become, I would even say, a danger to my family. I was acting erotic and crazy and just all over the place, and they didn't know what to do with me. I guess it was around 2016 that my wife, desperate, was looking for help for me and came across this new place that was getting ready to open called Synergy. And she made some phone calls and kind of worked it out without me even knowing, really. I mean, I was so wrapped up in what I was doing and in my own just mess that she got me in. And I remember telling her, I said, I'll go if it doesn't look like a hospital. And it certainly doesn't. You can look up the pictures and see how nice this facility is. I know Kevin was probably blown away when he got to
come crazy.
Out.
It's crazy looking. It's awesome.
But I felt very fortunate to get accepted into this place. And I was actually the number one, very first client that checked in there, which I totally didn't expect, but that was kind of neat. And Man, Synergy was awesome. The care that they showed, the just the concern that they had for me, for my family, the tools that they gave me, the education I got was just incredible. Unfortunately, and I wish I could say otherwise, unfortunately, after my first day at Synergy, within just a week, I relapsed and started drinking again. And I think it was probably around that time I realized just how helpless I felt and was in the circumstance. I couldn't get myself out of there. There was a point in time where, and it just kind of, I was just off to the races again. There was a point in time a couple of years later, after my first stay at Synergy, that I really scared my family again, and my family decided they needed to get the authorities again as well. They called 911. I was threatening harm to myself, and Christian County Sheriff showed up again like they did many, many times. And I remember one of the sheriffs sitting on my front porch, spending some time with me, I mean, maybe 20 minutes or so. And the concern that he had for me, the concern he had for my family, the compassion he showed was just incredible. I'd never known anything like it. He wasn't angry. He wasn't wanting to just throw cups on me, although he did, and we'll get to that. But I was just so impressed that he took that time with me and showed that care. And so he ended up, again, took me to the psych unit, as I had been many, many times before. And this time was different. I could tell that something was up with my family, my parents. Unbeknownst to me at this particular time, they'd drawn a line in the sand and said enough was enough. And I believe it was my second day at the hospital that I saw a police officer walking down the hall, and he was going up to the nursing station. And I could hear him ask for me. And the nurse pointed in my direction, and he walked up and gave me a stack of papers, and it was a restraining order. And I was legally not to go around my wife, my children. My parents weren't allowing me there. And so at that moment, I lost everything. Lost my place to live, my family. I had nothing, absolutely nothing, but the clothes on my back, which so happened were paper clothes because of where I was. They don't let you wear your regular clothes there. This is where probably one of my favorite Bible verses come into play. And I'll just give you just that quick little intro. It says, "But God." And this is where my life starts to radically turn, and this is just so, so awesome. So I have this stack of papers. I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. And I'm talking to the nurse. I'm going, what do I do? She says, well, you can talk to, I think a social worker maybe was his title. I'm not totally sure. But he says, man, let's sit down. We'll come up with a plan for you, a place for you to go, some extra treatment. And I said, yeah, I've got nothing else to do. So we made some phone calls, and I end up finding a place, a homeless shelter of all places, a homeless shelter called Victory Mission. And what a cool place that was. I mean, absolutely terrible. No one would ever want to go there, but man, what a heart those people had. They cared for me. They provided a place for me to stay. And I'll kind of go through that story as well. So we're getting close, Kevin, to where our paths cross. And it's interesting. Yeah. During this time, I'm going through all of this, yeah, thinking I'm totally alone. And here you are going, yeah, through almost the identical situation.
Yeah, that's crazy. We both lived in California together growing up, which was super weird. Our families both moved out here kind of independently. And we weren't super close in California and weren't really super close here, but our families were pretty good friends. And we were walking in a church at big event called Save Our City here in town. And I see Jim walking by, and I'm just like, oh, great. Like, I'm going to have to say hi to Jim, because I'm in there in a sober living house, which my whole story. But yeah, so we crossed paths, and I kind of admitted, like, hey, yeah, dude, I'm in a sober living house right now. And he told me, I just got out of a homeless shelter. And we were like, what? So that was kind of crazy, because we both, like he had mentioned, we both grew up in really good homes. I came out here, owned a business for 10 years, and slowly did the decline of drugs and ended up getting hooked on heroin for about 7 years. Started with pills and ended up getting on heroin. And so, yeah, I totally destroyed my life, lost my businesses, lost my house, my car, all that kind of stuff, which is crazy. So I entered into a program in Springfield called Freeway. Freeway is a pretty big program here in the area, very Bible-based Christian sober living house, a rehabilitation house for a lot of people that have been in legal trouble or drug addiction. And so I was there as a representation of Freeway, and Jim was there just kind of on his own, I think, right?
Yeah. At that point, I wasn't really involved in, other than attending Freeway services. Yeah. And so while he's doing that, I'm at my homeless shelter, and I find out that they have what's called a restoration program, which is, I would say, very similar to what you were going through.
Yeah.
Not quite the same, but the objective, I think, was the same. And so I get accepted into this restoration program. And part of their requirements, which I grew to really love and enjoy, was they would basically make you go to so many church services during the week. One of which was Freeway on Saturday nights. And I had heard of Freeway. In fact, I had even checked out Freeway some years ago when they were still in that old gymnasium.
Okay.
And we start going Saturday nights. This big bus would show up, big Freeway bus, and they'd pull up in front of the homeless shelter, and all the guys in the restoration program or on the homeless side of the shelter would all pile in, and we'd go. And I think walking into that room for the first time, I mean, there's hundreds of people that are in the same position that I'm in. Yeah. The difference when I'm looking at them is they're happy, and I'm absolutely miserable. And, I'm looking at these people that are homeless, that are reliant on this service to get food and dinner. And here I am doing the same. And I'm like, why are these people so happy? I'm absolutely miserable. And as I spent time at this service, it became very apparent to me that the difference was Christ. And this is where kind of the faith-based part starts to really come in. Yeah. There was a night shortly after I arrived at Victory Mission where the front desk guy, Mike, he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Jim, they're going to take some guys up to church just a couple blocks down the road here. It's a church called Midtown, if I remember right. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, Kevin. But it was an old, small little church, and I really went because they were going to feed us, and I didn't have a way to get food. And frankly, I wanted out of the homeless shelter, you know. And so I pile into this van, me and a couple of guys, and they fed us bologna and cheese sandwiches and little Gatorade bottles, if I remember right. And that was the best meal I remember having in years. It was awesome. Maybe because I was hungry, maybe because of the people I was with, I don't know. But maybe because what the Lord was getting ready to do, I don't know. But we go in for the service, and the pastor, I don't even remember what the content of his message was, but I remember him closing and saying, "If you want to get right with God, you can come on up here and do your business with the Lord." And I did, man. I ran up and just dropped to my knees, and I was just crying, just sobbing. I had nothing to give to God but myself. I had nothing. I had no possessions. I had no family. I had no money. The clothing I had at this point, a lot of it was donated. But I surrendered what I had left to God. And at that point, it was everything. And I believe that's exactly what made the difference, because I finally let go of everything and I let God. There's a verse I wanted to share. This is so important in my life. Prior to me fully surrendering to God, I believe this verse really describes where I was. It's Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, and it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved." And at that moment, I believe grace saved me, absolutely, wholeheartedly. And my circumstance didn't change. It was absolutely the same. No one really knew that I had made that decision except for those people in the room. My family certainly didn't. I couldn't let them know legally. I couldn't contact them. But man, I felt a peace. I felt a contentment that I'd never known before. And I was getting ready to go back and sleep at a homeless shelter again, you know. And my circumstances were still what they were, but my outlook was totally different. And I believe that's because my heart was transformed in that moment. And so thus began kind of a radical journey. I showed up back to the homeless shelter and I was just pumped up, man. Like I couldn't do enough to try to give back. I was trying to serve any way I could. I was serving hot food to the guys on the homeless side. I was volunteering for any work detail that I could. And it was crazy wonderful. And so we're getting right to where we kind of crossed paths. It was around this time I started having very limited contact with my wife over the phone. I had heard about 30 days later, word had gotten to me that she had let that restraining order expire. So I was able to start being in contact with my wife and my children.
That's cool.
And didn't expect that. I mean, I certainly didn't know, yeah, you know, that she was going to let that happen. But it did, and over the course of about a month, month and a half, I saw God slowly restoring that relationship with my wife and my children to the point where we had a conversation one day and she says, come home. And so I did. And, you know, we still had our issues. I had many, many, many years of hurt and deceit and lies and all of that. All of that had been forgiven, and I fully believe that by God, but the consequence and the hurt was still there with my family. And we had a lot to work through. We really did. And I think it was about this time that we just leaned into church. We started getting involved and trying to volunteer any way that we could. And part of this, and I remember telling my wife, man, we need to go to the Save Our City event. We have to. It's Freeways putting it on. There's going to be people there I know and want to catch up with. Totally unbeknownst to me that I'd run into Kevin. And I remember going to this service, me and my whole family, and I believe me and my son, it was me and my son that ran into you.
Yeah, first time I'd probably seen your son in, I don't know, 8 years or something.
I'm sure he was in diapers the last time.
Yeah.
And so we go to, he wanted to look for a shirt, I think is what we were doing. So it was just before it started. We go kind of walking around checking booths out. And then we literally almost run into you.
Yep.
And I was just like, man, this is crazy.
Yep.
This is nuts. Yep. So I'll let you kind of take it off from there, and I'll kind of pick back up. And
oh, what do you want, my story, or what do you, what am I?
So you were in the men's freeway house.
Yeah.
So how's that going? Where are you at with that now? And
yeah, so I, like I said, I got into a lot of legal trouble mixed in with drug addiction. I think just generally unhappy with life and trying to avoid the question that we all wonder all the time, why, what are we doing here? It's such a weird thing that I'm here and even having this interview right now. But I think I was just trying to avoid all serious life questions at that point. I had a little bit background of Christianity and what had been ingrained to me as a child, but I think I just would had kind of turned my back on that and looking to just to fill my life with whatever I could to make me happy. I mentioned drugs, alcohol, that kind of stuff. Money. I owned a few businesses for a while and did really well with that and just couldn't find happiness anywhere. So I just began to numb myself. And that became just a rabbit trail down the hole of addiction very quickly. I ended up with some legal trouble, spent 8 months in county jail, and was released into the freeway program. That was back in March of 2021. So since then, I had the same experience with the church message and that kind of deal where the pastor at the time was speaking about the difference between a worldly sorrow and a godly repentance, and just the difference that that has on your eternal state and the importance of that. And it really spoke to me. And so at that point, I made an eternal decision to make a commitment to Christ. And so I did that, which I don't mean to make little of that by saying that, but I did that and still had a lot of room of stuff to do after that. The Freeway program is a year-long program. I completed that year, and I've been really enthralled by what the Bible has to say. I think it's super interesting, and it's so much more than interesting. I say words like that, and I don't mean to, but it's captivating. That's a better word for it. And so I spend a lot of time reading it. I've actually had the privilege to go speak at Synergy on multiple occasions now, and just kind of share what the Bible has to say about life and try to answer questions or provide biblical answers to questions that I know that everybody has. It says in Ecclesiastes that God has written eternity on man's heart. And so I know that that's something that everybody thinks about on some level. I think we do our best to avoid that thought as much as we can. So yeah, I've completed the Freeway program. I'm pursuing going into some sort of ministry. I don't know what that looks like. I don't even know if that's full-time or just kind of doing what I'm doing on at Synergy and teaching at Freeways, a message like that, but I'm just going to try it and see what happens. I feel called to do it. I think that I enjoy it more than anything else. I think that, like I said, the Bible is captivating. It's interesting. It's a historic account of some pretty insane stories that I think is so easy just to overlook by just saying it's just the Bible. But when you really get into it and read it, it's nuts. It's awesome. So,
well, and yeah. And so I'll expound on that a little bit. So, so I'm at the point now where I feel that I've truly been set free from the bondage of alcoholism. Right. And so, were me and my family, you know, so you and I have reconnected, right?
Yeah.
And, but at this point, we're just like, oh, that's cool to run into him again, you know?
Yep.
And so we didn't really even stay in contact much after that for a few months. So kind of going back to where I'm at during this time, I am looking for opportunities. I know I've kind of got the same burden that you just described, wanting to get involved in some kind of a ministry. This verse keeps kind of going through my head, and it's talking about abundant life. It's John 10:10. The thief comes mm-hmm. to only steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Mm-hmm. And I think that word abundant life, that's such a descriptive word, abundant, right? And I think about this time, I was really experiencing that. I was present and available for my wife. I was present and available for my kids. I was present and available to be able to give back at my church in the form of leading worship and playing and singing. And as I hit, so kind of fast forward to about a year into this whole deal, I'm hitting about a year of sobriety, free from alcohol. And let's I just go. Have this desire to get back involved with Synergy. And I can't really explain it other than I'm just like, I just felt so driven to this. And so I reach out to them and said, hey, I think it was 2 weeks before I hit my sobriety date. And I reached out and I said, hey, I'm coming up to a year of sobriety. I just have to be involved with you guys and give back. You guys have such a special place in my heart. And I was fortunate and blessed enough that they hired me, I think pretty well on the spot. It was something they didn't really have a position for me, per se.
That's crazy to work at a rehab that you were just in not too long ago.
Well, not just once. I mean, so I was there four times as a client.
Yeah.
Four times, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot of days in rehab. Yeah. And you're right. You're absolutely right. It's so crazy. And so, they hired me and, they kind of worked me into the schedule and I'm so grateful for them, doing that. So now, you know, as being a staff member of Synergy, I get to be around these guys every day, and it's incredible. Some of the best people you will ever meet are people coming out of addiction or struggling through addiction. And maybe that's because you instantly have maybe a bond with them.
Yeah.
You just know what they're going through. They know what you're going through. I mean,
you agree? Yeah, you have compassion on them for real. Like you look at them and you can relate to what they're going through. And you have a success story out of it. So it's just, I think it's it's just my desire to help them out along the way, because I would have loved for somebody to be there for me, helping me out along the way, you know.
Yeah.
And I did have that, but it's different. So
yeah,
it's different to be on the giving end of it than receiving. And
it's fulfilling.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Absolutely.
So my experience, just to kind of let you know, just some of the profound things I've experienced at working there. You know, every day I have to walk past the detox rooms where I detoxed and had DTs and was hallucinating and hearing things that weren't there and seeing things that weren't there. Going through some of the most terrible experience I've ever had in my life, I get to daily be reminded by seeing these rooms. You know, it's not often, but there's occasions where guys are going through it just as hard as I was. And I feel like, you know, looking back at it, I feel like that's helped equip me to relate to these guys and encourage them in ways that maybe, I don't want to say others can't, but I would say more maybe a unique way, you know. So it's been really, really neat to get to know these guys coming through the program, coming through the residential program there at Synergy, the men's house. I got to share this really neat story because, and I don't know if you know this, you may have heard this story, but we had a particular client that was really struggling with his detox, and it reached a point where I think he was beyond our level of care. And so we ended up, I had to get the nurse involved. She came in, and it was ultimately deemed necessary that we had to call emergency services, call 911. And so ambulance shows up, and part of the response was Christian County Sheriff. And two of the guys come walking in, along with the paramedics. I think the fire department was there too. And I'm looking at this sheriff and one of them, and I'm going, doggone, he looks familiar. And I'm looking, and I'm like, man, that really could be the guy. And by that guy, I mean the guy that spent 20 minutes on my front porch with me when I had just scared the living daylights out of my family, threatened harm to myself, but he took time out of his evening to spend with me. This was, I was really thinking this was the guy. And so they handle the situation. They get our client transported to the hospital, and he's kind of debriefing with his buddy in the parking lot. And so I approach him and I say, hey, I think you know me. I said, my name's Jim Curl. I named the street that I live on. And he goes, oh, yes, we know you. Yes. He shook his head and he kind of laughed. He goes, man, we know you. And he recalled this one particular night. And I said, yeah, that was me. I shook his hand and I told him, thank you. I said, awesome. Thank you so much for the compassion, the care and concern, not just for me, but for my family too. And he looks at me and he goes, what the heck are you doing here? I said, man, I work here. I said, I was the first client to come through these doors, and now I get to work here. And he was just blown away. I think that's neat. You know, I don't want to brag on anything I've done, because I mean, if we look at what I've done, it landed me in a homeless shelter, you know, and I lost everything. And so I got that opportunity to kind of brag on what Christ had done and say that, you know, he had set me free, and share with him, I think, a positive story. I don't think those guys get much encouragement, you know, so that was really neat. The guys in the house got to kind of see that go down, and I think it was kind of inspiring for a couple of them. But I don't know. It's just been a ride, man. It's been a journey. It's been crazy. I had an opportunity. I got to visit with the clinical director at Synergy, my boss. And we got to talking about what I was involved in with recovery. And, you know, they had seen me at my worst so many times over.
Yeah.
And now they're seeing this radical transformation. And I remember speaking to one of my coworkers who was not my coworker at the time when I was as a client there. And she just recalled how terrible I was in, as far as just how bad shape. And they just really, I think they were losing hope for me. You know, I don't think that they expected a whole lot. And so it spurred this conversation. And so I got to talking about her, and we had an opportunity to propose having Freeway come in and represent a class to go over the materials and the biblical perspective, what the Bible has to say about addiction, what it has to say about grace, hope, and peace. number one on the list and most important, salvation. Yeah. And so we had this meeting, we proposed it, and it's transpired and it's worked. It's worked out. We've had our second class. That was just yesterday.
Yeah.
You got to lead that, Kevin. And
yeah.
The guys that are attending, it seems that they just absolutely love it. And they're so encouraged, and it's incredible. And I want to take it from your perspective. I want to hear kind of what that's been like for you to come in. And
yeah, I mean, it's cool. If anybody that's gone through addiction, I think just to a certain extent, all their pride's kind of lost, you know, like they're open to hearing alternatives because when you're in a rehab or you're in jail or you're in a situation kind of in the lowest of low, a homeless shelter, whatever that may be, there's just no pride in that. And I think you start to look for other alternatives. And what better time than to tell somebody, preach Jesus, you know, that's kind of what I've had the opportunity to go in and do. And it's cool. You know, you go in and you don't expect everybody to be very receiving of that. And they're honest. That's the other thing I like about people that are coming out of addiction is there's no reason really to lie anymore because all your junk is out open. So if they don't want to hear what you have to say or they disagree or they think something else they'll talk about, which that's what it's really about, is having honest conversations. That's really all you can do is I don't believe that, or I do believe this, or I don't want to think about it, but at least they're being honest about it. And so it's really cool to go in there and just be able to share what God has done in my life. Like Jim, it's just been a radical transformation. I have a joy and a peace that I search for in many, many different things throughout my life and haven't been able to find it. So it's just encouraging. It's uplifting. It's also good to go in there and see what you did to yourself, like you mentioned. It's not to brag on anything that we've done or that we did this, but to go back and look at kind of a constant reminder of where you were at and what, it's a good reminder for what God's done in our lives, I think. Yeah. So,
and I just try to be as humble as I can, because again, I just can't reiterate enough that left to my own devices, I'll destroy it. I'll destroy everything I get my hands on. I proved that. But for me, the way I look at it is, it's like, man, I've got a front row seat, the best seat in the house to what God's doing. And it's just cool. It's so neat. Looking at, kind of the big picture for Synergy, it's really neat because they focus on the holistic approach to recovery. And, part of that is, I think AA refers to that as a spiritual discipline. And I'm just thrilled and so thankful that guys can now really explore and dive into the spiritual aspect of recovery. I think it's wonderful. And I'm thrilled to death that you're part of that, Kevin. I'm so excited. And I want to close, and I'll let you, if you have anything final to say, I just want to say this. There was a point, and I just remember being so dark, feeling like I could taste and sense death was near. I mean, it was that bad. It was so, so, so bad. The anxiety, the depression, the burden was just more than I could bear. Matthew 11:29, I think, captures what's happened in my heart and what's transpired and changed in my life. Matthew 11:29-30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I can't say anything other than I've experienced that 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, praise God.
Yep.
I think that's all we got.
You need an air conditioner